just so grateful for fellowship. We're going to move now to our time of worship. Amen. The richness of fellowship. When you get back to your seats, you don't have to sit down. Just stand and worship with us this morning. We're just going to go before the Lord. Very, very excited about the message this morning. Wrestled with it a lot yesterday, just what God wanted me to say. And then by the end of the day, after just prayer and meditation, I just laid before the Lord and wept. And I just thought, man, what an arrogant man I am. How strong I think I am, how strong I think I need to be to walk in this life. And it just really broke me to think, man, God just wants to carry me. God just wants to hold me, and he wants to fight for me. He wants to live for me, and I feel like I fight him on every turn. And so this morning, as we're here and we just take a few moments to worship, can we just have the mentality, the heart this morning to just say, I'm going to lay my pride to the side. I'm going to lay my ability to live, my ability to fight what's going on in my life. I'm going to just lay my strength down, and I'm just going to fully rest in the Lord. I'm going to let my hope be found in just him this morning. Not in my ability to make money or to pay certain bills. Not in my ability to wake up in the morning and grind through the day. I can do that, but I'm exhausted. And I don't have to. He will hide me away in that secret place, and he will hold me, and he will fight the battles of my life. And we can just worship like that this morning. We can just worship in that place this morning. Amen. take this world. It's going to dissolve like snow. But Jesus is going to be forever mine. So would you just worship with us to this song? I know it's a new one. You may not know it, but it's very easy to follow.
Jesus. Oh, We thank you this morning. We thank you for the opportunity to be in your presence. There was a time, Jesus, where the Gentile world was not permitted to holy things. But when the king looked upon the banquet tables and saw that they were empty because of rejection, you said to your servants, "Go out to the highways and to the byways and call all that would come." And so we sit here this morning, God, because we heard the call and we've answered, God. And in Jewish custom, Lord, it says that the father of the bride presented and provided all of the garments for the ceremony. So everyone that came would be covered with what was provided by our Father. And so we come in with a covering that Jesus has covered us with, the blood. We're family here, Jesus. We sit at the table of kings. We don't eat scraps, even though we would eat scraps from your table, Lord. We have a set place with you. So we honor you this morning. We love you, Jesus. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I hope nobody cried more than I did during that song. Thank you, Lord. I was just really praying yesterday, and I'm going to give you a little insight. I'm sure Pastor Pedro can relate, or any minister, teacher can relate, especially when you're pursuing the heart of God. I don't want to preach to you manipulated scriptures or man-made thoughts. And it's easy to do through the years. I mean, how long have you been preaching, Pastor Pedro? 20 years, maybe? A little less than that. I've been preaching for 14 years, and I've read this scripture, and I know what it means. I know what it means in its context. I know what it means expositionally, and I really could bring a word to you that is not biblical, but one that has not been graced with the touch of the Spirit of God. One that I'm just giving you a word because it's necessary. And every time that Sunday approaches or Wednesday approaches, I'm gripped with fear because I don't just want to bring to you some thought that I have conjured up. I have this great fear in my belly that grips me, that just calls out to God and says, God, I need your spirit to come upon me. I need to be gripped by it. I need to be covered by it. I need to be filled with your spirit. I need your words to come out anointed by you. I want them to be your words. And Cora actually sent me a quote yesterday from this man. I can't remember his name. What's his name? What is it? St. Augustine, not the place in Florida everybody goes and visits the beach, even though it's beautiful. But St. Augustine made this statement. He said, the Holy Scriptures are letters from home. The Holy Scriptures are letters from home. They're dipped in heaven's touch. There is no Holy Scripture that was not spoken outside of the anointing of God, this Holy Spirit of God. Isn't that amazing? We're reading the words of God to us. And so I just want to say this morning, just under great just burden, that I just meditated on the Lord yesterday, and I just threw some scriptures around, and I'm just trying to figure this message out. And when I got frustrated with myself, because every time I would just lay one scripture behind the other, it was just frustrating, because it's like, Lord, that is not what I feel like you're trying to say. And I just want to articulate this feeling. And I remember I just quit. I was probably here at the church for about 6 hours total yesterday of just praying and meditating and studying and trying to, anybody ever done that? You're just trying to get those pieces to fit. Maybe not preaching, but just in life. You're just trying to get, and you just throw them down. Anybody ever worked on a car in here? You just can't get that bolt in there. You've knocked every knuckle off. That's how I felt yesterday. I just felt beaten up and bruised, and I just threw it down. I just said, Lord, it's not coming together. And I just went home. I went home, and I went into my room, and I turned that song on. I Want Jesus. And I just began to really tell the Lord that. I don't want to be your preacher. I don't want to be your pastor. I don't want to be a doer of what you need done. The reason I've done all that I've done is because I want you. The reason I am saved today is because I want, and I just wept in my room because I just thought, what an arrogant man I am to go sit at my desk in my office and think that I can put God's word together by myself. And I just thought, man, not only that, but it's like I'm living every moment of every day just in my own ability, my own strength. I'm just trying to muscle through these issues of life. I mean, and I'm just exhausted. And all that did was just reveal who I really was in my core. And I just thought, man, I am paralyzed. I am weak. And I am helpless, and I need Jesus. I want him. And I just pray this morning, and as I'm listening to that song, I mean, scriptures just begin to pour in. And as they did, I just began to weep over them because I just thought, God, your word is ministering to my soul right now. And I just thought, man, I've got to just share what God shared with me yesterday. Amen. I had no intentions of preaching this morning. This is literally just the answer of God to a desperate man. Amen. I've titled this message this morning, The Pursuit of Hope. The Pursuit of Hope. If you'll turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 5, we're going to start in verse 17. Luke chapter 5, verse 17. Now it happened on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by, who had come out of every town of Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Then behold, men brought on a bed a man who was paralyzed, whom they sought to bring in and lay before him. And when they could not find how they might bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the housetop and let him down with his bed through the tilling into the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said to him, "Man, your sins are forgiven." And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, "Who is this who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered and said to them, "Why are you reasoning in your hearts? Which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven you,' or to say, 'Rise up and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins," he said to the man who was paralyzed, "I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house." Immediately he rose up before them, took up what he had been lying on, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God, and were filled with fear, saying, "We have seen strange things today." Would you just pray with me this morning? Father, I come to you, Lord, and I just lean fully on your understanding. I lean fully on your anointing this morning. I just love you, Jesus. I'm seeking you this morning, Jesus, to be with us, to be present, to speak, Lord God, your words, not mine. Because, God, we don't need another pressed and starched message. We need your Holy Spirit. We need the words of life. I believe your message last Sunday, God, by your Spirit leading, Lord God, we are living in the last days. And Father, more now than ever before, Lord God, we are going to be exhausted. Exhausted on every front. Paralyzed by fear, anxieties, stress. Father, paralyzed by things that are demanding us in our lives. Physical, worldly things that are going to try to corner us and pin us down. And we're going to struggle against them, God, in our strength. But we cannot escape it. We cannot overcome it, Lord God, in our own abilities. We need you, Jesus. We need the liberty of your Spirit. Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And so we just long for you, God. We long for hope again. We long for the ability, Lord God, to look into what's just ahead of us, to look into our present time, Lord God, and hope again. So we long for you, Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Could you imagine this man who was brought by his friends and was put down through the roof? Could you imagine the conversation that he had with his friends? The desperation in his cries. "Oh, beloved, I've exhausted all avenues. I've exerted all strength and time and money. Yet here I lay, lame and weak and overcome. But I've heard of this Jesus. I've heard that he forgives sins and erases shame. I've heard that the lame walk and the dumb talk. I've heard the lepers are cleansed, the dead are raised. Would you but take me to him? At any cost, would you take me to him so that I might know, so that I might hope?" What a surprise he must have had when he got there and realized that the house was full and that the chance might be gone to be presented before this Jesus. But to the glory of God, the love of his friends, probably his closest brothers, saw a way where there was no way and broke through the barriers that separated their friend from his moment before his Savior. Folks, Christ is a friend that's closer than a brother. He's made a way where there is no way, so that he might stand before the Lord, embraced by his presence, without hindrance of sin, nor shame, nor ailment, just fully and wholly his. I want to preach this morning to you, and not in a way that I've preached before, but I want to present it not as something where I'm saying it to you. I don't want to just say things to you. I want them to be embraced by you. I don't want you to take it at face value. I want you to hear it, and I want you to recognize Christ in it. And so this morning, I want you to know that this is not just so much for the sinner as it is for the saints of God. Because how often, How often have we seen, or maybe we've experienced this when we were sinners, where there was just an overwhelming bondage in our life where I just could not break free of the struggles. I mean, I was literally paralyzed. I can only speak from my personal experience, but when I look back and I remember that time, I relive those moments. I remember the crippling darkness that gripped my life. And I'm not saying that hyper-spiritually. I'm just talking about, I remember the depression that I was in. I remember the desire to take my own life. I remember the desire to pursue things in my life that I thought would make me feel better, that I thought was going to fulfill me, that I thought was going to bring peace. I remember the relationships that I tried to get in with other people, thinking that maybe if they loved me, maybe if they accepted me, this longing would go away. I remember the alcohol that I used to drink to escape the pain of my past and the things that I'd went through under abuse mentally and physically from times in my past as a child. I tried to escape those things by taking drugs. And I remember pursuing after those things, mostly because my friends were there and they were encouraging me, saying, if you take this, it's going to make you have a good night. You're going to enjoy this moment. And so my heart longing to be satisfied and freed from the bondage of darkness that I was in, my pursuance was in those things. And how many of you were just like me? You pursued them to their end. I pursued them to the hatred of my family. I pursued them to the point where my mother said, I want nothing to do with you. Don't you ever come back. I never want to see your face again. Because the darkness had bound me so much that she didn't even recognize me as her son anymore. My pursuance was in it to the end of it. And it brought great death to me. It brought great shame to me. And it put me in a place of paralysis where I didn't want to get close to anyone. I just wanted to die. That was what was in my being. That was the sin nature of me. But I'll never forget being 19 years old, engrossed in sin, engrossed in the darkness of my life choices. Not that Satan did this great thing to me, but I chose in my pursuance. But what was I really pursuing? I was pursuing hope. I was pursuing the hope that these things would finally break me free of the bondages that I was in. But my pursuance was in the wrong direction. But I'll never forget being 19 years old. Folks, I was a drug baby when I was a kid. I was drugged to church every time there was an opportunity to go. By my grandma, by my mom, we went. And I'd heard the gospel. I knew that there was a God. I believed that there was a God. I just didn't agree that he was good. Because if God was good, why am I feeling so terrible? Why have I experienced the things that I've experienced? Folks, it was because that I had never known him. And folks, you cannot fully understand a God that you don't know. He will always look like an enemy until you allow the walls to come down and let him in, to show you that he's really a friend. I couldn't imagine this man paralyzed, couldn't do anything with himself, bound by the physical ailment of his body. I couldn't imagine the mind that he must have had. I couldn't imagine when no one was in the house and he couldn't even get out of his bed to do simple tasks, how his mind was attacked, how fear rose up in him, how frustration rose up in him. I couldn't imagine it. But folks, are we not like him? Sinners and saints alike, are we not like him? Are there things that don't knock on our doors as Christians, that bind us up, that paralyze us, just like this man? They put us in the bed, and we say, I don't want to get up. This thing is too great. This burden is too heavy. This life is too hard. We live in a time and a generation that is very real. We live now in a time where Satan has never been more intentional to wearing out the saints. Now is that time. And so we find ourselves often in this place. We find ourselves often laid up in the beds of fear, depression, anxiety. We lay in the beds of frustration. God, how long will I yearn for this? God, how long will I endure this? God, how long must I face this trial? And you begin to contort inwardly. You're not reaching out like you used to. You're not speaking out like you used to. Slowly, you are retracting in. Has anybody ever seen as someone is battling paralysis? You see their hands begin to curl in. Anybody ever seen that? They begin to lose function of their folks. We are no different spiritually. As we begin to take on this wound, we begin to retract in, and we become just like this man in his paralysis. But this is what I love. At some point, this man recognized his condition. And folks, we have to recognize our condition. We have to call it out by its name and say, this is where I'm at. This is what's going on in my life. But do you know what else he recognized? He recognized, I don't know if a friend came by, one of these friends maybe. And they said, have you heard? Has it been noise to you that Jesus of Nazareth is in town? Has it been noise to you yet? Have you known that Jesus is here and the mighty works that he's done? Do you know who he is? Have you heard about him? Because he's healed the sick. He's cleansed the leper. He's raised the dead. And this man is right down the street. Could you imagine the warfare that was in this man's heart? He could have easily given in to the defeat of his paralysis. I would love to go see him, but there's no one to take me. There's no one to come beside me and bring me. I want to go see this Jesus. I have a desire. Could it be? Could it be that I could hope again? Could it be that there's hope that if I go and I meet with him, that this might fall off of me and I might have the fulfillment that I long for? Could it be possible? And I don't know if that person, that friend walked out the door. Maybe he didn't say nothing, but he goes down the street and he grabs a few more friends and he says, have you heard that Jesus is in town? This is our opportunity to get our friend there. This is our opportunity to pick him up and take him. Can I tell you folks that those friends are types of Jesus? There's sometimes I can't pick myself up by the bootstraps and I need a friend that's closer than a brother. And that friend is Jesus. And he will come to me where I am. And he will lift me up in my bed. And he will say, I'm going to take you to freedom. I'm going to take you to liberty. Those friends came in. They surrounded him with hope. They picked him up and they took him. What did they find when they got there? Just discouragement. We're never going to get in there to Jesus. Is that not like the devil? A few of you, amen. You ain't fought the devil like I fought the devil. Every time you get up, he's there to knock you down. Every time you move forward, you're knocked back two steps. It's unbelievable. They get to the house. Jesus is not obtainable. But how many of you know it doesn't matter what's in the way? Because there has been a way that is made. He is the way. He is the truth and he is the life. He makes a way where there is no way. When sin bound us, he took the cross and buried it. When death gripped us, he went and took the keys and said, I am the victor of death and the grave has no more power. He's made the way. What can stand in it? Nothing. Who is the Lord but him that planted the mountains? The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. What can stand against him? God plants governments in this world, and for their time they're there, the psalm says. But it's for a short time. They're like grass of the field. The Lord blows on them and they are withered away. Folks, what can be in our way? Nothing. Do you really realize the power of our resurrected Christ? Do you realize it this morning? Folks, I'm floored by this revelation. And it may be simple because we've read through it for years. But I'm floored by this revelation that when Christ was in the grave 3 days, and the Spirit of God raised him up, and he walked out of that grave. Do you know that there were multitudes of people that were resurrected with him? whether the grip of death, hell, and the grave was so strong, and it took a force unfathomable by God to raise up Christ. There was so much power in the resurrection, the tombs emptied around it. And they begin to walk around in their grave clothes, and people were testifying, saying, my loved ones come back from the grave. There is a power in the resurrection that is unfathomable. It's the power to save. It's the power to heal. It's the power to live otherworldly. It's the power to stand in the midst of darkness and then be victorious. Glory to God. What can be in the way of a waymaker? Nothing. He breaks the bow. He shatters the spear. He's unbelievable, folks. No weapon formed against us can prosper. Folks, I'm just telling you what the book says. These are letters from home. This is telling us we have victory in Him. Glory to God this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What does that mean? It means that we may be here now. We may be paralyzed in this place, but there is a God that will come and meet with us. He will find us, and He will raise us up out of this place. Hallelujah. We're close to Easter, but I don't want to wait that long. I want to live here. I want to live in the resurrection of Christ. Folks, I'm tired of fear. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of the grip that it has on me and my family. I hate the paralysis it brings. Because the life that we should be living, we are hermits now for fear. Folks, Satan may roam like a roaring lion, but our King is the Lion of Judah. I don't know if y'all have seen the new Mufasa movie, but he owns everything under the sun. Everything the light touches belongs to our King. Amen? That's a kid reference for you, but I've got four babies. Everything the light touches, He's the King of it all. He's the Lion of Judah. He's my warrior. He's my victor. He's my King. He's my Savior. Hallelujah. There's a pursuit in this man, a pursuit to hope again. A pursuit that this word says and means what it says it says. Much like that man, the woman with the issue of blood in Luke chapter 8. I'm just referencing it if you want to write it down. She had spent every dime she had on physicians to no avail. But one day it was noised in the city that Jesus was on his way to raise a dead girl. What hope must have welled up inside of her? If Jesus was able to raise the dead, then maybe He would be able to heal this death in me. That's what the Jews said about the issue of blood, that it was death being released from the body. And she's saying, this man's on his way to raise a body that's been dead. How much easier is it for him to heal this death in me? They weren't allowed to touch people. They were dirty. They were unclean. But she pushed her way through the crowd. Folks, how many of you know there's always going to be obstacles? Always. But there's got to be something on the other side of that obstacle that makes us as saints of God rise up and say, I don't care what's in my way. I don't care what the rules are. I don't care what the traditions say. I don't care about what religion says. All I know is I want Jesus. I need Him. I need to get there. I've exhausted everything else. He is the one. He's I can feel it in my bones. Folks, I'm telling you, it took everything as a lost person in me to escape the grips of darkness. Because when I heard the voice of Jesus, I forsook all. I would have pushed through the crowd. I would have broke through a roof. I would have done whatever. You're telling me that all that I've tried that didn't fulfill me, it was always in You? It was always in You. Hope welled up in me. Could it be that my heart could be answered? Could it be that my longing could be satisfied? And folks, I'm here to tell you, if you don't know Jesus this morning, I can tell you, He is. He is all that He says that He is. 14 years I've been born again. That moment in that truck, 14 years I've been born again, and I've gone through hell. I've lost folks. I've lost people. I've lost things. I've lost integrity. I've gone through warfare with the devil. I've gone through warfare with people. But I can tell you, He's just as good today as He was the moment that I gave my life to Him. He's just as good. He's just as fulfilling. He's just as satisfying. And when I look back on all the hell that I went through, all the paralysis, all the death that was in me, in my pursuit of hope, I've never been let down. Never. In times of loss, the greatest comforter has held me. He's held me. I remember someone passing in hospice. I was in the room, and this person grabbed me like this, and they pulled me down in their frustration towards God at this person passing. And this person said, "Say something. Say something to make this moment better. Say something that's going to deal with this issue in my heart." I said, "The only answer is Jesus. And you may not know Him, but that person in that bed did. And I can tell you, that person in that bed handled that death better than the person that had to go through it alive, because they didn't know Him. There is nothing in this world that can stand up to Christ. Nothing. Not even death. It allows the man or woman on their deathbed to look at it and smile. They welcome it. You know why? Because it's not an end for us. We see death, and there's hope in our heart that when that door is open through death, eternity's right on the other side." Hallelujah. What hope is there in Jesus? What hope is there? When that door opens of death, I'm going to step off from this trial and tribulation and suffering in flesh, and I'm going to step in to the glory of glories. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I think about John 5. The man at the pool of Bethesda. I think about 38 years this man was paralyzed, unable physically to get up and do anything, laying at that pool. I'm closing if you want to come. I'm not going to get to all my scriptures today. I think about this man who knew strength. He was paralyzed for 38 years, physically unable to move for 38 years. But it doesn't say that he was born that way, which means that he had some time that he was able to know strength. And now he doesn't. He knows what it was like to walk around and go to the grocery store and do things. But now he can't. But you remember what Jesus said when he came to him? He said, "Wilt thou be healed? Do you want to be healed?" You remember his response? The paralyzed man looked at him and said, "I would be healed if I but had one person to take me to the water." Little did he know that he was speaking to the living water. I don't need anything else. I don't need nothing else but Jesus. I wish somebody would come along and touch my shoulder and pray for me and help me get there. Folks, Jesus will come right to you. He'll say, "You thought you needed in some way to make yourself be strong and get there and do this or do that, but I'm here to tell you I'm right here to do whatever you need me to do." He's a friend that's closer than a brother. He's a God that will never leave us nor forsake us. In the darkest hours, He's a lamp unto our feet. He is the hope that is in the believer's heart. And folks, without Him, there is no hope. There is nothing but an end for us of darkness and torment. Miss Mitchell said this about her mom telling this to her kids: if you're going to go to hell, you're going to burn well. That's what she said. Because you've been told. It's been expressed to you. And I can tell you, it's not going to burn any harsher than for the person that was presented with this Christ and rejected him. You're going to know without a shadow of a doubt that you deserve to be there. Because Jesus came to you in your paralyzed state. He came to you in your death. He came to you in your sin. He came to you in your shame. Remember what Jesus said to those cities? He said, just so you know, the kingdom of heaven has drawn nigh unto you. And because you've rejected it, it is going to be worse for you than Sodom and Gomorrah. Folks, I don't want to kiss the door of heaven just to go to hell. I don't want to, when that door can be opened to me and I can know this Christ. There is a deep longing in the lost to be saved, and he's ready for you. There's a deep longing in the believer to believe again, to hope again, to long for something that is beyond the trial that's in front of us. And folks, your hope is not misplaced, because we still serve a God that answers with fire. He does. You remember what it said in Luke chapter 5? And when God, Jesus, did this, they all marveled. Every one of them. Who is this Christ? He forgives sins and the lame walk. I don't know where you are in your paralysis. I know where I am. I know where I was yesterday. It was my arrogance, thinking I'm going to muscle through this. I'm going to throw some scriptures down and just kind of grit through. And the Lord just put his finger on me. I was just paralyzed in it. I was just frustrated. The Lord just put his finger on my heart. And he said, don't you know that I can preach my own word? Don't you know that? Don't you know that I can walk through fire? Don't you know that I can raise the dead? Don't you know that I can make the lame walk, the dumb talk, cleanse the lepers? I can reach to the depths of a man or woman's soul and cleanse them of the deepest sin that they've ever committed. Don't you know that the mountain can be lifted up, uprooted out of its place and cast into the ocean? Don't you know who cast the stars into the sky? Don't you know that I have told the waves to stop where they are on the shore? I forget sometimes. I get exhausted sometimes. But to the glory of God, his grace comes and reminds me. I'll carry you. I'll walk with you. I'll raise you. I'll heal you. I'll cleanse you. I'll touch your heart. I'll touch your mind. This is the God we serve. This is the hope that we are pursuing. This is the love that we've received. It's not withheld from us this morning. It's in us. His life, his love, his power. I encourage us this morning, if you'll stand with me. I encourage us this morning, run to Jesus. If you can't run to him, call on him and say, will you carry me into your presence? I need a friend right now, God, and your spirit's the only one that's strong enough to carry what I'm battling, carry what I'm carrying to your presence. I need to be touched by you. I need to be healed by you. Folks, I am not above reproach. I am not above the warfare of the enemy. I am not greater than anyone else because of a position that God has asked me to fill. We all are fighting a real fight. We're waging war on a real enemy. But every one of us are dependent on Christ. That's the only way we're going to win. I can tell you, the moment you break off and pick up your own sword is the moment you're going to take a dart from the enemy. And you're going to cry out, God, save me. God, help me. And with all of his grace, you know what he does? He picks you up. He pulls out that fiery dart. He touches that wound. And he stands you up and he pushes you forward. Now is not the time to give up. Now is the time to wage war, to fight in our pursuit of the hope that we know is in Christ Jesus. I do want to open these altars. Don't think that I don't want to do that. If you are here this morning and you feel you just need to be prayed for, I want to pray with you. Pastor Pedro will as well. You just say, man, I just need a touch from the Lord. I need to have hands laid on me. I just open it to you now. If that's you, you're welcome to come. Take a few minutes and pray. Amen. Pastor Pedro, so I'm coming down. Is there anyone else? Maybe your hearts are just filled with the Lord and you just want to pray for these that are down here. You're welcome to come pray with them. Folks, I don't know where your paralysis is, but I'm telling you, if you just make your way, the Lord is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And so if that's you this morning, you just come seek him right now. Just come up here. Let us seek with you. Praise the Lord. Can I get some saints of God to come down and just pray with these that are down here? I need a touch from the Lord. Is there anybody that would come and just pray, help Pastor Pedro? Thank you. Hallelujah. Lord, we're here in your presence. We're here in your glory. We're here because without you, God, we're lost. We're without strength, without the ability, God, to just live every single day, Lord. And Father, every time, Lord God, I hear someone else taking their own life, I bear witness to that. I know what it's like to live without you, Jesus. I know what it's like to feel hopeless, Jesus. But to the glory of God, I found that hope in you. And you set me in the pursuit to see you and to be with you consistently. And Father, we face so much, God, and there's a group of people this morning that are facing that, Lord. They're facing the paralysis. They're facing, God, the ailment and the struggle of the warfare of Satan. They're being stopped on every turn. There's a crowd. There's religion. There's all this stuff in their way. But Father, you're willing to blow the roof off. You're willing to carry us into your presence, Lord God. We just stand in that victory, God, the resurrection power of you. We stand in it this morning. We come against, Lord, the enemy in the name of Jesus. As your word said, the archangel came against Satan and he wouldn't even rebuke him except but in the Lord's name. And that is because your name is all powerful. You've been given the name that is above every name. And so this morning we just profess, God, the name that is above every name. In the name of Jesus, we proclaim it, God. We profess it over this building, Lord God, over your children, your heirs, God, in the name of Jesus, God. touch them, God, where they are, Lord God. Touch fear and dissipate it, Lord God. Just let it be lifted up in the name of Jesus, God. Let your power fall, God, on the ailments and the sick, Lord God, and let them be made well, Jesus. God, we've already heard, God, of miracles where tumors are not growing anymore because of your word, Jesus, because of the prayers that you've heard, Lord. And so we just sit here in your glory and we trust you, Jesus, because our pursuance of hope has been met with an answer above all answers. God, it's been met by you. It's been met, God, by the hope of hopes, the Lord of lords, Jesus. Hallelujah. We glorify you today, Jesus. We just ask you, Jesus, just to dwell on us. Dwell in us, Lord God. Live in us, Jesus. Oh, Lord God, let us just remember and recognize, Lord God, that we are weak and you are strong. That your power is made perfect in our weakness, Jesus. We just thank you this morning, Lord God. Can we just praise God just for a second and just worship God? Thank you, God. We're here in your house. We're saved. The victory's been won for us. And we may be in a battle, Lord God, but at the end of this battle is victory. Hallelujah. We're going to step on the other side of this battle and we're going to look back and we're going to see how you won every battle. How you stood, even when we couldn't stand, you stood in power. You stood in strength, God, and you resisted the devil. Father, we read it in Revelation, God, that the saints of God are going to be lifted up. The angels are going to grow silent, and the redeemed of the Lord are going to sing a new song. Only the song that the saints of God can sing, God. That is the hope that is in us, God, through you. Your redemptive nature, your redemptive power, God, is going to resonate a song in us to sing that all other creation won't be able to sing. We rest in that hope, Jesus, because that song is going to be of redemption, but it's also going to be a victory. How you empowered us to overcome the world. So we love you and praise you today. Thank you for this church. What a miracle, God. What a praise report that your body is what you've asked it to be, Jesus. And that's lovers of your people, lovers of their community, generous, caring, long-suffering, Lord. Father, this is a body of faith that believes when they pray. We thank you for that, Jesus. Because that is a telltale sign, Lord God, that your spirit lives here in your people. I thank you, God, for the victory, Lord. I want to continue to see it, Lord. I do. I want to continue to hear the praises of what we've prayed for come to pass in victory. You're so good, Jesus. We worship you. Because all we want is Jesus. We don't want the accolades. We don't want the glory for ourselves. We just want to glorify you, Jesus. Everything that was done to these people, they stood up and they glorified God. Let it be the same for us, your people, in this time. We love you. We praise you. Bless everyone on their drive home. Bless Dennis and Joanne as they drive north, Lord God. Just touch them, bless them, keep them safe. Let them be the encouraging light that they are here, Lord, continuously back home. Every prayer request that was prayed this morning, we just bring it up to you again, Lord, and lay it at your feet. Just like those friends laid their friend at the feet of Jesus, we just lay them at your feet and we say, God, you're the only one. You're the only one that can raise them. We love you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, church. Thank you so much again for being here this morning with us. Enjoy the rest of your day. Ooh, I want Jesus.